Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the new energy experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition. Hello, and welcome to the episode. Today, we're looking at three hot topics in new energy: platforms, demand-side flexibility, and congestion in electricity networks. We're getting more electrification and we're getting more photovoltaics. Inevitably, that's going to cause, over time, more congestion on electricity networks. And we're already seeing that in some cases, networks needing to be reinforced, or even wind farms or photovoltaics being curtailed to avoid congesting networks at times. One solution is build bigger networks. Another solution is use demand-side flexibility to reduce congestion, so turning down demand at times when the network might be congested, for example. So can we use demand-side flexibility in this way to avoid network congestion? And can we use platforms to connect network companies that need this flexibility with customers that can provide the flexibility? Well, I'm sure my guests today will say, yes, we can, because they're building businesses exactly around this concept. So we've got a couple of companies at the forefront of this, together with, as usual, a Delta EE colleague who's immersed in this area. So let me introduce my guests. First, Haustine Hagen, senior consultant from Nodes, which is a joint venture between Nordpool, Europe's leading power market, and the energy company Adka Energy. Hello, Haustine, and can you start by giving us a quick elevator pitch for Nodes, who you are and what you do?
Thank you very much, John, for inviting Nodes and myself to this podcast. I hope it will give value to the listeners.
I'm sure it will, Haustine.
At Nodes, we believe that in order to support the drive to a sustainable emission-free future, we need to unlock the value of local flexible power resources. And we unlock the value by building and operating Europe's most customer-centric integrated energy marketplace. And to do so, we have developed an innovative and flexible market design that challenges the current market.
Okay. And how long have you been at this? Has Nodes been in existence, Haustine?
The project really started in 2016 when Agder Energy did a project with Microsoft on smart grids, and has evolved since then into Agder Energy inviting Nordpool to join and setting up Nodes. And Nodes has been operational for a little bit over a year now.
Can you give me an idea of scale within that year? How many projects, how many megawatts, how many customers, how many distribution networks?
Well, at the moment, we have projects and entering into project that spans 10 countries in Europe, but with a little bit slow start with a couple in the first year, but now it's really gaining momentum.
Right. Okay, well, we'll come back to you, Haustine, to hear more shortly. My second guest is from GoPax, which is an initiative of the Dutch distribution and transmission network companies, Marco Kroethoff. Hello, Marco.
Hello, thank you for this invitation and exciting topic.
So, Marco, can you give us a similar elevator pitch for GoPax, a quick description of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, of course. Thanks. And in your introduction, everything is true. The energy world is really changing. And for the DSO and TSOs in the Netherlands, they decided in 2010 to get code to GoPax. And GoPax is not more that congestion you can solve by more copper in the ground. But you can also ask the market and close your congestion to the market, that they are allowed to bid on it as one of the solutions for reducing your congestion in your network. That is what we try to do with GoPax.
Okay, and so you've been going a while. Again, can you give us a feeling for how active you are, how much you've progressed, what scale you're at the moment?
Yes, of course, I will do that. Of course, we are active and not so active as I would like to be, but still, in 2019, in the beginning, we had only 12 calls. But after the summer, we got more than 2 million megawatt transported about our COPEX platform, and also with a value of between the 60 and 90 euro per megawatt hour. So you can calculate very fast that it goes pretty good with COPEX, and we use it mostly by the TSO, but also the TSOs will start now in the last months of 2019 because they had to learn to enclose their congestion. But
Yeah.
now, to give a figure, it go very fast and the market reacted very well.
Okay, so it sounds like for both of you, things are moving pretty quickly. Now, my final guest is Philippa Hardy from our flexibility team here at Delta EE. Hello, Philippa.
Hi, John.
Philippa, can you give us a quick feel for looking across Europe, how mature or otherwise these sorts of platforms or marketplaces are?
Sure, absolutely. So I'd say really that we've got two of the real innovators online, and there are a few more, but Nodes and GoPax are really innovating in this space. So the market for DSO flexibility or for DSOs to procure demand-side flexibility is really nascent today. There are a
Because
few.
they're used to putting more copper in the ground or building a bigger
Absolutely.
network if they
Yeah.
have a
There's
constraint.
traditional ways that network companies have and do still reinforce their own grid networks that they're
Yeah.
very used to. So this is a real using demand side flexibility is a really, really new thing. To put that in context, across Europe, there's a lot of trials, there's pockets of activity. There's two countries where there's that activity is actually turning into commercial activity. And the notable ones are the UK, which is probably the top of the pops,
Yeah.
and Netherlands is second. So that just to give you an idea, we're nascent still, but we do see that this is going to continue to increase and DSOs are going to continue to engage given the trial activity.
Because presumably DSOs are naturally conservative. They want to supply or transport, distribute electricity with very high reliability. They don't want to take risks. They're used to solutions of building bigger networks if they're constraints. This is a bit new and different for them.
Yeah, absolutely. This is completely new. They want something easy to invest in that's going to have very little impact on the cost to the consumer as well, which is a key driver for DSOs.
Okay, Philippa, one other thing I'd like to talk about with you before we go back to Holstein and Marco. So I used the word platforms at the beginning.
I know.
platforms are, they're a buzzword, everyone's using them, but they're used very widely. That word's used very widely for very many different things.
Yeah.
So in the concept that for what we're talking about today, which is demand side flexibility and congestion and distribution networks, how should we think about platforms?
Okay, so within context, so yeah, completely agree. Platforms being used for lots of different things at the moment. But if we're just looking at flexibility, so flexible energy, and within the energy industry, we can broadly categorize these platforms or hardware and software into four. So we have maybe the listeners are more aware of the aggregator platform or the virtual power plant. So aggregating, optimizing assets and either monetizing, so generating revenue from them or cost savings from them. So that's one. So the aggregator or VPP platform. The second is the energy management sort of platforms. So they're obviously we've been doing energy management for a long time, but there's new platforms out there, so new software to do this in a more intelligent way. So again, cost saving for flexible customers. And then a third, there's a third and a fourth. So a third on energy market access, and that's a different platform. So again, providing end users access to markets that they wouldn't otherwise have access to with their sites or different assets. And then last but not least, we have these marketplaces, which we're going to talk about today. So real facilitators for procuring flexibility between different markets. Today is mainly around the local grids, but it can include other markets as they develop. And I'm sure Halstein and Marco would also agree with that. And I know that's in their future plans as well, to include lots of different value streams in one single marketplace platform.
Okay, so a marketplace or a platform that's connecting customers that have flexibility with distribution networks or even transmission networks that need that flexibility.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Halstein, let's come back to you now and nodes. You described the number of projects you've had. Now, I'm sure you've learned tons in the last years. Can you share with us one or two of the key lessons that you've learned in the last years in developing these projects?
Yeah, I think the earliest and the first lesson we really picked up is that we need to be very clear on the different roles in the system. There's two things that's mentioned more or less already, and that is an aggregated platform or a VPP platform. And that's what you need to be able to know what sort of flexibility do you have in the market. And that should, in our view, not be part of the marketplace to optimize those assets and so on, nor should it be the role of a marketplace or a market platform to do optimization of the grid or to do simulations of there. And in our view, the marketplace should be a pure market where buyers and sellers meet and where an independent price get formed.
And Halstein, have you found that hard? Have you found yourself getting drawn into some of these other roles, or have you had that clarity from the very beginning about your role as purely operating that marketplace?
Well, it started off by the project that I referred to from Agder Energy and Microsoft. That was a project where they tried to do the whole value chain within one setting, so to speak. Yeah. And it's when we realized to split it into buyer and seller and marketplace and focusing on getting that marketplace independent, that was a big breakthrough, and we sort of distance ourselves from more popular terms like DERMS or LEMS, local energy management systems. So it was a sort of turner for us in a new direction towards an independent marketplace.
I really recognize what you say, because the platform has more functionality. So the market for the DERMS and to optimize the grid. And yep. With GoPax, we started as one integral package. And that was one of the faults we made. And after the year, we say, no, we had to split the several roles in the platform to make it very clear what's the goal with every role in the platform.
It's almost like a fire, you know. In order to get a fire, you know, you need to have three elements going, and in order to get flexibility running, you really need flexibility service providers or people with assets to make it available to the DSO. But at the same time, you need to make it available to the TSO to get the frequency of trades, which was reflected by the volumes that you've done in the Netherlands from TSO side. And in between the TSO and DSO, there is surely a need for coordination.
So I think that raises a really interesting question. Is you're both focused on the platform or the marketplace. You need the other parts of the value chain to be in place. And if we look at two of those parts, one is the customers who are able to provide that flexibility, or the aggregators acting on the customer's behalf. And the other party is the network companies who know what their requirements are and are able to put those requirements into the platform or the marketplace. So I'm interested from, well, all three of you, how are those other two parts, the customer side and the network side, are they mature enough at the moment, or where is the real gap or challenge in the three roles, the customers, the platform, and the network companies?
I would say in terms of customers, it depends on which market and it depends on which customer type. So we know that the residential customers are, I mean, there's pockets of activity across Europe. I think we discussed that on another podcast. Mm-hmm. C&I, again, some markets are more advanced than others. Some customers are really getting into this. Some would rather just go through, you know, would rather not be involved at all. And that really reflects where aggregators are most active as well. So in our markets where there's lots of aggregators, there's a lot more awareness about demand side flexibility and lots more activity. So I'd say we're still, when you compare it to other markets, it's quite early still, that demand side flexibility. It's not business as usual, really.
People having to think about it, it's new customers. Yeah. It's not what they're used to providing.
Absolutely. And it's constantly changing. So the markets are constantly changing, which makes it tricky for customers as well.
Yeah. Well, on the customer side then, for Marco and Holstein, how hard have you seen, or you found it, or how hard have you seen to engage customers or the demand side on your platforms?
It's very hard to invite the customers or to really touch them because the customer only see financial benefits and try to use the market as what's the best price and act on the best price. So you can also start from the DSOs, TSOs to combine the congestions and the biddings and to go to one platform with one enclosure to the market, or is intraday or day ahead, or is for another market to increase or to have in control the price bands. On the other way is we are the last half year very open with GoPax to go to the customer, have information sessions for also new customers, because we would like to increase the market more liquid. It's very difficult to really explain what we would like to achieve and what are the benefits for the customers besides financial. I don't know, Holstein, how your experience are with it.
Yeah, I can certainly identify that situation. I think there is the flex providers, they ask what's in it for me and how can I make money out of my assets, and they're used to doing that. And that is the reason why I think some areas is called value stacking. If you can offer your flexibility to more parts of the grid, then it's easier to get the value out. For instance, in the case in Norway, where we on a local DSO level wanted to do a investment referral, it turned out that in a cold, it's really need to be very cold for them to activate the flexibility, and with only 6 to 8 activation a year, who wants to invest in controlling technology on the customer side? And it's very much a chicken and the egg. And I think this is where the biggest challenge is for the grid operators, the local grid operators, or even the regional grid operators, because the regulation has not incentivized them to use flexibility as part of their toolbox. Yeah. They have really been incentivized to build grid rather than seek other solutions, except maybe from UK and as you said in the Netherlands.
Let's assume that.
I agree. The regulator is not built for the regulator or the law is the true in the rear mirror, and that's the challenge with this new market. So we try to talk with the regulator, and they encourage COPEX, but they also still not allowed to give us all the freedom and the rules that we needed for tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we'll see that, as you say, regulations normally built with a rear view mirror, and in the next years we'll see the regulations change. The UK is possibly at the forefront where it's neutral to the network company whether they use demand side flexibility or build a bigger asset. What I'm hearing from your customers is it's a challenge to, there's not necessarily masses of value for the customer, and it's a challenge to engage customers and build that liquidity. Another question for both Horstein and Marco, how granular or how localized are on your platforms and marketplaces are is a need for flexibility? So the grid operators, they have a congestion or a constraint in a certain area. How localized a signal can you put in your marketplace or platform for that congestion or constraint?
Oh, that's very easy. That's very, very local, very in the periphery of our grid. So that's of course not on households, but areas of 1,000 households is for us a spot where we can try to solve locally congestions.
Okay, Horstein, yeah. How about you?
Yeah, from node sides, the way we design the platform is that the grid company can decide how local they want to have it. If they want it on one feeder or one substation, well, anything south of that feeder or substation could be a market. If they want to go higher up and have it on a line, a congested line, then we create a local order book from that. And this goes all the way to a regional level or even a TSO level. And all the flexibility that is being offered in under one at one level will automatically be visible on a higher level. So it's totally flexible as to which level you want to put up a local market. Now, there might be other issues playing in here, and that is how many assets is really within that market. Do we get enough liquidity, etc.? But that is something that we're learning as we are doing this project.
Presumably, Horstein, there's a trade-off. The more local you make it, the more specific constraints you can solve, but the less liquidity there will be within that small area. Where do you think that balance, from what you see from the network companies and the providers of flexibility, where do you see that balance between getting more local and limited liquidity? Where do you see that balance playing out?
I think in the project where we have TSOs taking part of the project, where we do a mathematical aggregation up to the TSO level, then anyone participating with the flexibility can benefit.
Sure.
So that's what we want to test. Now the question is it will a local market survive on its own? Well, that is up to the to the grid company. So often they will go to the market. What we have seen so far is that the grid company really like to buy the flexibility long time ahead, and they like to keep that flexibility for themselves, okay, rather than putting it onto a secondary market that is traded on a daily basis.
Keep it to themselves because that gives them comfort and security that will definitely be there as a good optionality for them.
Yeah. It is, of course, it goes to security of supply. And if you have security either in form of a well or over the dimension grid or flexibility that you know you can call on, that is the easiest way of managing it. Whether it's the cheapest and the best way for society, that's a different story. But I think we need to see, and the grid companies or the buyers of flexibility need to get used to trusting that flexibility is there when they need it, and that takes a bit of time, I think.
Horstein, I'm very happy about you because it's in the DNA of the DSO. Very constructive, what John also told, and that's also the strength of the DSO TSO. The lifetime injury rate is very high.
But, Correct.
Is that also the right DNA for this flex market? And then is the answer no. So the DSOs has really new competence needed. They had to make the step to system operators to enclose it to the market, but they are not ready by mindset for this step.
Marco, Gopax is an initiative of the Dutch DSOs. So on one hand, you could say, well, the very fact that the Dutch DSOs have set up GoPacks shows they had the right mindset. On the other hand, as you say, it's a new mindset. So how quickly, without naming any names, but how quickly do you see DSOs making this transition, Marco?
Oh, that's for me too slow, but it's very... GoPacks, of course, it's a fantastic initiative. But when I don't get the backup from the CEOs of all the DSOs, and they say, Marco, you can go further, because on management level by the DSOs, now, if I ask them, now they shoot me really down and they say, we only need more copper, we must more in control, the market, that will be later.
And I guess it takes time to build confidence and, as you say, for people to change.
I think that will agree with Marco here, but also if with the likes of GoPacks, of Nodes, there's Peaklo, there's EPEX Spot, there's a lot of trial activity out there working with DSOs. And obviously you've got the UK and the Netherlands at the head of, you know, at the spearheading this sort of direction. So it is going to trickle out. I still agree with Marco, it will take time, but the more trials that continue to go, the more this trial activity turns into commercial activity, the more other countries will learn from each other, and DSOs with constraints, with cost constraints as well as real energy constraints, will then say, okay, well, hey, let's just try this. So it will trickle, but it's not going to be a, you know, a hockey stick type job.
No, and I guess it will always be, the pace will always be too slow for innovators.
Too slow for us, but faster for everyone else.
I think the speed will increase as the adoption of EV cars picks up, and the speed will also increase as the renewable share increases in any country. That's when you really get problems and get difficulties planning your grid. So I think there is the innovators amongst the grid companies that will go in the forefront and participate and initiate projects. But I also think that the pure cost of coping with the change in customer behavior and the influx of renewable production is going to be a driver in itself.
I think you're right. I think electric vehicles is where we will see a hockey stick point in the curve, and when we start going up that hockey stick curve, then there'll be really big problems with local congestion, and then people will think, hey, we need new solutions.
And I was just going to mention on that, and that's why we've seen the activity in the GB market, because we've got some real problems here. So other markets might be a bit slower because they're not experiencing quite the same amount of problems. And the other thing I'll add to what Halstein's long list, I agree with all of that, but the other thing that could become a driver is obviously the digitalization. As things start to be more connected, more demand response ready, as there's less need for upgrades to hardware and retrofitting controls to get customers onto these or to work with these platforms that exist, then that becomes easier and it becomes less costly for market players to interact with customers as well. So that also needs to shift.
So we're building up now to crystal ball time where we look forward. But I'd like to briefly touch on one final point before we get the crystal talking new energy crystal ball out. So we've focused the discussion so far on using demand side flexibility for distribution networks, also for transmission networks. But they're not the only players in the electricity system that want flexibility. So wholesale electricity markets, electricity suppliers, generators will also see value in flexibility. So a question, will we see the emergence of a single platform or marketplace that brings together all the different parties that want flexibility, distribution, transmission, electricity retailers, balancing responsible parties, and people supplying flexibility? Or will we end up with different marketplaces for different types of players in the electricity system? Holstein, what do you think? Will we end up with a single platform?
Our market design is surely designed around the capabilities of dealing as a single place to trade for multiple resources of acquiring flexibility. Any any acquisition of flexibility will automatically create an imbalance at the at the supplier, and that is one of the things that we are testing in one of our projects, is how can we automatically rebalance the supplier so that the impact of the flexibility trade doesn't hit a innocent third party. I actually think that we are on the way of having markets that can cater for the whole system in terms of looking after the existing system and adhering to what is already in place, and at the same time developing new services that can benefit the local distribution companies.
Marco, how about you?
Yeah, I agree. We need one single player, and it must be very transparent and fair system. So everybody had to understand that, and transparent is also that everybody know, make a parallel with traffic. You can use the highway, and sometimes you got a jam, and everybody can see that. We try to avoid the jam in the energy network, in the grid. So talk about it. What we have done the last few months is to identify all our congestions in the Netherlands. We got now more than 400 dots on the map from the Netherlands with congestions. That's only about to understand. The next step is to solve that and to have one single platform where we use that, the interaction between TSO, DSO, with the market and with all the other players. That's necessary for the future.
Okay, well, it's great to hear from both of you that we're on, hopefully, on the road to having a coordinated platform and marketplace.
Or platforms that can operate with each other. Yeah.
Yes. So you're right. It may not be one. Yeah. It may be interoperable. Now, time is, as always, getting the better of us. So let's bring out the Talking New Energy crystal ball and set it to 2025. And I'd like to ask each of you very briefly, please, two questions. Firstly, if we look at distribution companies across Europe, what proportion of those will be using a platform or marketplace like Nodes or GoPax or another one to help manage constraints? So that's the first question. 2025, what proportion of network companies will be using these sorts of platforms? And secondly, what proportion of constraints will be managed or solved using demand side flexibility? So difficult questions, I know, but let's stick our necks out, or I'll ask you to stick your necks out and see what you think. Holstein, I'm going to put you on the spot first.
Yeah, honestly, I can't put a number on this. There will be grid companies, I think, that would not take the DSO role. They will continue to supply grids and let somebody else do the system operation of the grid. But I think that all the companies that decide to take the role as a distribution system operator, they will like to have flexibility and demand response as part of their toolbox. In terms of how much it will be, it's impossible to say, but we at Nodes, we certainly think that it should be a market-based solution to find the best way to facilitate the what we think is a fair and independent price for that flexibility. And by doing so, I think the society as a whole will gain from it.
Okay, thanks, Holstein. Marco, how about you?
Yeah, a number is very difficult. Very difficult, but I think in the Netherlands, we all use in 2025, and I think in Europe, the most countries, the DSOs will take that step. That's a really necessary step to have the marketplace and to enclose that. That will be done by the pressure of the customers, the changing world and the use of the grid. And of course, the regulation from European and also the Dutch regulation of changing this. So I think here it will really go to a hockey stick. But how much exactly? No, that's not what I'm no.
Yeah, okay.
No, John.
If I may add, I think the allowance of independent aggregators to come in and do innovations in this field, I think that will also increase the speed of adoption of what is available and what can be used.
Yeah, I agree, and I also think that the DSOs will get pointed from the government that they have the non-discriminatory role to facilitate this kind of platforms.
Yeah, so I think we'll see more push from regulators as there's more confidence and maturity and time that we can see these solutions working. Philippa, what about you?
So I just a few things. So again, not going to go over all the drivers and barriers for why this would happen. That's a whole different podcast, but I would want to split the first point into two. So platforms and marketplaces. I'd like to think that active network management using more real-time software, that's got to be a focus for DSOs to actively manage their networks better. Mm-hmm. And then the second part of that is marketplaces, as we're talking about today. I think if you look at how far Peaklo in the GB market has come and how quickly, I think it could be quite quick where there are problems, where there are drivers for the network companies to engage with marketplaces. So again, I'm going to give a number. I'm going to put my neck out. My personal opinion is, again, given GB development, Netherlands development, and all the pockets of trial activity, proportion of European distribution companies, definitely less than 50% in 5 years, because 5 years is not that long, to be honest, mm-hmm. in the energy industry. It's, it's basically once we talk about it for a year or two, then there'll be some action. So less than 50%, but hopefully more than 10%. So I'm going to give that quite large bracket.
Yeah.
And in terms of the marketplaces, with regards to how much they'll be using it for constraints compared to different ways, I would agree that flexibility is one part of their toolkit, and there will become a point where if EVs rapidly take off and if heat pumps and electrification of heat and transport are so rapid, then the problems get so big that they will have to do a combination of the two. They'll have to reinforce as well as use flexibility. But hopefully flexibility becomes more business as usual and becomes more about how they are managing the network rather than this extra piece that's siloed.
Well, I think it's clear from the three of you and my own view that there's no argument about the direction of travel here. It's just about speed and adoption within a relatively conservative industry. But if we see lots of problems emerging, as has been said a number of times, then that will drive the adoption of these sorts of solutions much more quickly. So that's it for today. Thanks to all my guests, to Holstein, to Marco, to Philippa. Thank you all. And thank you to the listeners. We hope you found it a useful and interesting podcast. This is the last podcast, number 8 of the current series. We'll be taking a 2-week break and then we'll be back with the next series in February. So look forward to welcoming you all back then. Thanks very much and goodbye.